We're turning in our Bibles this morning to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. And for the sake of time this morning, I'm going to read verses 20 through to verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 20 through to verse 22. Let's hear God's word. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Now, of course, that word there, when it talks about I am black, that's referring to mourning in sackcloth and ashes. So just bear that in mind. But verse 22, it says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And we know God will bless his word to our hearts this morning. The words of the text that we are looking at here were written by the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah came to prominence when King Josiah was king. And of course, you know the history with King Josiah. He was the 16th king of Judah. And his father Amon was an evil king and was executed in 2 Kings chapter 21. And of course, the execution of this man led to King Josiah at the age of 8 coming to power. And in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 2, it gives us a bit of an insight into King Josiah. It tells us that he was a man that did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And of course we know that Josiah began major reforms in the land. He tore down the high places which had been set up by his father. He also executed the pagan prophets. And he reinstituted the worship of Jehovah. And we can read about those reforms in 2 Kings chapter 23. However, as time went on, it became apparent in the land that these reforms were only going skin deep. The reforms were made, but the people themselves remained unchanged. They worshipped God, but their hearts were far from him. And the chapters prior to number 8 in Jeremiah are quite damning, to say the least. In chapter 7, it gives us an insight into the people's hearts and their spiritual condition. If you read chapter 7 in Jeremiah, we read things like murder, idolatry, lying, stealing, adultery are some of the things that are mentioned. And in verse 26 of Jeremiah chapter 7, we read that the people were stubborn. We read that the people were rebellious and sinful. They were further away from God than their ancestors ever had been. That's something, isn't it? In chapter 7, it also states that they were a generation that continued to follow their own evil desires and didn't listen and had no interest in responding to the truth that was being taught to them by people like Jeremiah. God continually warned. God continually warned. Oh yes, they went through the motions. Oh yes, the people went through church attendance. Of course, they made their sacrifices and feasts and celebrations. But it was empty. It was empty. They had no interest in God. They were more interested in following evil acts. Their hearts were far from God. And here we find Jeremiah with the unhappy task of bringing a message of judgment to the people. Judgment to the stubborn, rebellious generation. Does that ring a bell this morning in Northern Ireland? Because I believe we're living in a stubborn, rebellious generation today. Morals have gone out the window. People don't care. People are empty. Going through the motions. Going this way and going that way. Seeking something in life. But no interest in God. No interest in the things of God. Sad day, friends. Sad day. And Christian believer this morning, do you ever get tired and weary with this world? As a Christian believer working with young people and children, I get tired and weary. I get tired with the stubbornness in Ulster. I get tired with the dry and thirsty land that we live in. It's barren, spiritually speaking. It's barren. Do you ever feel that no one is listening to the wonderful good news of the gospel? Do you feel battered and bruised in the harvest field? Do you feel the work of the harvest is becoming more difficult with fewer people interested? Do you feel like giving up and letting someone else do it? Can I say this morning to those in the car park who are saved, keep working the harvest. Keep working the harvest. Don't lose heart. Because the Word of God reassures us this morning that the fields are white unto harvest. Don't abandon the harvest now. Keep being faithful to the Master. It's not our battle in the harvest field. It's the Lord's battle. We can't see it. He's the one that does the saving. Keep working the harvest. He is working out his purposes and his plans. As believers, we need to be faithful no matter what the circumstances are. Whether we are asked to, like Jeremiah, bring a difficult message, we need to do it. We need to be obedient to the Master. We need to be obedient to God this morning. If God gives us a task, we need to do it. Has God asked you to do something this morning, believer? Has God asked you to do something for Him? And you're procrastinating. Trust Him. Trust Him. And be obedient. And go through for God. Of course, the harvest isn't easy. Of course, the harvest has many challenges and struggles, but we must endure to the very end. And isn't it true in Christian circles that we all take things on, don't we? And we don't see it through. We have no stamina today. We get involved in ministries and projects. We take up roles in our fellowship, and then things start to get tough, or we decide we fancy a change, and we just throw the towel in. Unfortunately, that's the way it is in Northern Ireland today. There's no stickability. There's no commitment anymore. There's no seeing the task through to the end. And yes, it is easy to give up. Yes, it is easy to throw the towel in. Friends, I have been there. There's days where I've got up and I've said, I can't do this anymore. There's days where I've got up and I've said, I can't do this anymore. It'd be easier to go back into a secular job. But that would be disobedience. Because God has called me to ministry. And so, that would be wrong of me. Always be in the center of God's will. Always be an obedient child, Christian friend. That's why when missionaries go on to the mission field, it's good to have a Bible verse. I don't accept this notion that now we get a feeling one day and we feel we need to be in the mission field. Friends, be careful with that. Be guided by God's word. Because, friends, let me say this. When Satan's attacking, and when there's problems, and when there's issues, and when the fiery darts are raining down on you on the mission field, or whether you're in ministry or whatever it may be, friends, it's good to go back to where you were called. It's good to go back to that Bible verse and be reassured that God has called you, and when God calls you, He keeps you. We need to be committed. We need to be faithful in making God known, no matter if it is uncomfortable or the circumstances are tough. Friends, as believers, do we not want to be faithful this morning and be loyal to our Master? Was He not faithful and loyal to us when He sent the Lord Jesus Christ down from heaven to earth to die on an old rugged cross for you and for me, friends? Remember that. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet what does it say in verse 18? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Look at verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. Does that not encourage you this morning? When you're in a tight spot? When you're getting nowhere in the harvest field? Trust the Lord. What is our strength this morning? The joy of the Lord. That's where our strength is. Are we leaning on Him this morning? Through difficulty, through circumstances, through problems, whatever they may be, big or small, we must rejoice in the Lord. And when the harvest is tough, when there's no fruit, we need to keep our eyes on Him, trusting Him and rejoicing. Jeremiah is a broken man. Look at verses 18 through to verse 22. Jeremiah is broken. Jeremiah, no doubt, wants to get up. No doubt. The man's struggling. He is broken. He is mourning. I mentioned sackcloth earlier. He's in despair with his own people. He's in despair how the people are living their lives. Jeremiah has a loving heart for his people. What a challenge to believers this morning in the car park. Do we have a loving heart for the lost? Do we have a loving heart for the harvest fields this morning? Does that not challenge us this morning to pray for the lost, to pray for our families who are lost, to pray for our friends who are lost, to pray for our neighbors who are lost? Jeremiah is mourning over the people's sin. He's just not shedding a few tears. He's in mourning. He's in despair. He's sad with the spiritual condition of the land and how the people are treating God. Friends, we need to be proactive in reaching the lost. There are people that are seeking something tonight, and it's our job to work the harvest field and for God to bring those people across our paths. There are people looking for answers in life. And God can use you to help people. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to serve in the harvest field? Does it not move us to our knees at least? Does it not move us to our knees to pray? Be faithful till the end. Pray until something happens. I need to move on. My time is flying this morning. There's a number of rhetorical questions this morning, and you can read them for yourself at home through verse 4 through to verse 12. But I want to look at something else in this portion of Scripture. In verse 11, we have a number of teachers who are false. Yes, they were about in that day as well. And we get them today as well. And these false teachers had rejected the word of the Lord. And false teachers were telling the people what they wanted to hear, not what they needed to hear. These false teachers were offering superficial remedies to treat the people spiritually. They were offering false hope. They were offering false peace, which in turn leads to a false salvation. And the people were effectively being led up a garden path into a cul-de-sac by these false teachers. And these false teachers, they weren't dressing the wounds spiritually. They weren't taking the spiritual welfare of the people seriously. They were given assurances of peace when there was. And then in verse 12, we notice another rhetorical question. As I said, there's a number of rhetorical questions from verses 8 through to verse 12. And then in verse 12, it says, are they even ashamed of what they're doing? That's the false teachers. And then the answer comes as you follow on in the first. Not at all. They wouldn't even know how to blush. Israel had had a time of visitation of righteousness under Josiah, but had rejected it. And now they were going to have a time of visitation of judgment. These people were living under judgment. Can I challenge this morning
those who are sinners in the meeting this morning, those who are outside of Christ this morning. Many false teachers will tell you that everything in life is going to be okay. All roads lead to heaven. Do your best. Live in peace. Love one another. Everything will be rosy in the garden. And maybe you have been taken in by that. I have plenty of time to sort eternal matters out. I have plenty of time to get right with God. Sure, I'm only in my 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Everything's going to be okay. I have everything sorted. It's a lie from the pit of hell. That's what it is, friends. Let's be straight about it this morning. False assurances, false peace, false hope, lies from the pit. There's one way to heaven. There's one gospel. There's one God. I'll look at that in a wee minute. I'll give you Bible verses to back that up just in closing in a wee minute. But look at Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said unto him, Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Your soul is required of you this morning. Chapter 8, verse 20. It says, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. In Israel, there is four harvests. The timeline is this. March, April time, we have the barley harvest. May and June time, there's the wheat harvest. July and August is the fruit harvest, things like the grapes, the figs, and the olives. And then in August, September time, we have the maize harvest. So you see, by the time the harvest had passed, so had the summer. And you know, friends, there's a message here this morning for those who aren't saved. God has given you time. He has given you opportunities. He has given you seasons, and you still have not responded to the gospel. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity has passed, and you are still in the same wretched state that you were in last year. Friends, there has to be repentance this morning. There has to be conversion. It can't be lip service. It can't be just going through the motions. It has to be true repentance. It needs to be true conversion. We live in a day of grace now where God can still be found. That is good news for those that aren't saved this morning. A whole year of harvest and seasons have gone, and God could have been sought. Missed opportunity after missed opportunity to be saved, but not taken. Life is short, friends. I'm mindful of children in the car park this morning as well. But I was watching the football yesterday with the father-in-law. We were all sitting in the living room watching Denmark and Finland. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, go and look it up on BBC News. A player, young in his prime, a good player, used to play for Tottenham Hotspur. A nice guy, humble guy, smashing footballer on the pitch. Very, very, very ill. Life is short, friends. Thankfully, that man's in hospital this morning, as far as I know. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he can be found. Friends, you don't have as much time as you had a year ago. For years you have perhaps kept the Sabbath. Perhaps you have said even your prayers. Perhaps you have even attended church services like this one. And you have heard the gospel being preached. But what have you done about it? Friends, there might not be another harvest. There might not even be another season. Time is short. Not one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Where would you stand with Christ? Are you living under judgment this morning? Are you living like the people of Judah? Well, of course, if you move down the verses, and I'm skipping some notes out here for time. But if you move down the verses this morning, we notice in verse 22 a remedy. We notice a remedy in verse 22. Again, another rhetorical question is asked. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there any healing in Gilead? Is there a doctor there? A balm is a type of gum. And it's found in the Middle East, in the Mount Gilead region. And that's why many doctors in biblical times would have worked that area, because the remedies were there at hand to use to help the people. Balm is like a wee herb. When the surface is scratched, when the oil comes out, when the sap comes out, that is used as a remedy to fix wounds. It's used to fix sores. And many doctors in biblical times would have used that. We also find balm mentioned in other parts of the Bible. You remember when Joseph was thrown into the pit, the traitors came along and they had balm. They came from Gilead. We also know that Jacob instructed his sons to go and give balm to Joseph. But it's the image that I want to look at just as we close. This balm was used to fix people, in which we must be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. So the question this morning is this. The harvest is finished. The summer is gone. Will you be saved? Will you be saved this morning? Come to him today. Come by the way of the cross. And you will go to heaven